The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, how are you?
Well, Ketov, who would believe that it's Thursday already? The time just flies, isn't it?
Completely insane.
We hear that the Prime Minister's wife, Sara Netanyahu, has been hospitalized for appendicitis. Apparently, she will be in hospital for a few days. We wish her a refuah shlema. She's not the most popular person in Israel,
I
have
to
say.
Was that maybe just an attempt to make sure that she doesn't travel with him to the UAE? You know, peace is fragile.
The rumors that are flying around about Sara Netanyahu and agreement that apparently she entered into with the Prime Minister that gives her the right to veto certain prime ministerial decisions, I don't know if I can believe any word of it, really. I mean, it just seems so unlikely and so crazy that she has the right to veto the appointment of the head of the Mossad, the head of the IDF, that she has the right to decide whether or not he travels overnight without her accompanying him. Just rumors flying around at the moment. Some people just believe it without even thinking twice about it, but it just seems the craziest thing in the world to me.
Well, why would it need to be an agreement? I mean, it could just be something between the two of them, surely.
It could be, but apparently, if we believe all of these rumors, there is actually a written agreement that was executed in 1999, which sets all of this out in detail.
I want to know what he did in order to get to that point that he agreed to that, to sign anything like that, assuming it's true, which I am doubtful of.
Well, we know some of the things that he did. You know, he's had a very colorful history up until now, no doubt. And the way, that they got together was also under some sort of cloud. I mean, lots and lots.
Look, if I was married to him, I'm not sure I'd let him. I'm not sure if I'd let him travel overnight either if I was married to him, but that's just me.
So maybe you have some sort of a point of agreement with her on that fact. I mean, when one reads what detail this agreement apparently has, what it goes into, and the strength of her ability, apparently she was allowed to, it was agreed in the agreement that she's allowed to join very, very secret meetings, even though she doesn't have security clearance, things like that. I mean, you know, this is just the craziest thing. So a lot of people are talking about it. I heard a long discussion on the radio about it this morning where, you know, people are holding it up and saying it sounds absolutely believable when we consider, you know, the individuals involved and we consider the situation and the circumstances. It sounds all very believable, but I don't know. For me, I mean, you know, having been through all that we've been through over the past year, I suppose we could believe almost anything. But I think for me that this is where we reach the limit of what can be believed or not.
Absolutely. I hear you. And I wonder if we'll ever know for absolute certain. Rumors do persist that Prime Minister Netanyahu will be meeting the Saudi crown prince. So that's taking place in Abu Dhabi next week. Is that right?
Apparently, I mean, this is what the rumors are suggesting, that Prime Minister Netanyahu will make a flying visit to Abu Dhabi on Thursday. And a well-placed Emirati source has said that he will be meeting with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and also a very affectionately known as MBS. So it's Bibi and MBS who are apparently due to be meeting on Thursday. And we understand that they actually have met before. There was a report that suggested that they'd met very, very secretly towards the end of last year. In Saudi Arabia, you know, that hasn't been confirmed or denied, but apparently now the two of them are looking to hold this meeting. The background to this, if indeed the meeting will take place on Thursday, seems to be logical, which means that the Saudi Crown Prince at the moment is under a lot of pressure for his involvement or alleged involvement in the assassination of the journalist in Turkey. The U.S. administration has decided that that assassination took place particularly on his command. The Saudi Crown Prince is actually de facto the leader of Saudi Arabia, given that his father is in such poor health condition that MBS effectively is the ruler of Saudi Arabia, even though he doesn't officially hold the title. Joe Biden, the President Joe Biden, has refused to hold a direct conversation with MBS against the background of that assassination and against the background of the fact that the U.S. administration is now absolutely 100% convinced that the assassination took place upon his command. And so he's sort of fallen out with the U.S. administration. And I think he's looking for a little bit of help in the public relations area just to try to resurrect his name a little bit and make it a little bit more acceptable in the international community. Mm. Prime Minister Netanyahu, we know, is fighting every possible way to garner the extra seats and the extra votes that he will need in the upcoming election, which is now less than 2 weeks away. So a visit to Abu Dhabi, well publicized, a meeting with the Saudi Crown Prince may well earn him another seat in the election. Who knows? And of course, the Emirati officials are aware of the fact that obviously the visit is due to take place so close to the election. They've taken that into consideration, and they've allowed it to go ahead nonetheless. They think that it's an appropriate thing to do. What we understand is that the Prime Minister will leave Jerusalem on a private plane, leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning to fly to Abu Dhabi. His meetings, whichever meetings there will be, including that with MBS and I guess with other officials from Abu Dhabi, will take place at the airport. And then he will apparently return to Jerusalem right away, because at 6 o'clock in the evening, he has a meeting with the prime ministers of Hungary and the Czech Republic. Okay. So he has to rush back for an evening engagement, having been in Abu Dhabi for the day. So that apparently is what the plan is for Thursday. And as I say, I think it becomes very, very important. He did have trips that were previously planned with a longer schedule. He was due to have flown into Abu Dhabi. He was due to have visited Dubai and Bahrain as well. And those trips were cancelled due to COVID-19 issues, due to scheduling issues, apparently. So I think there were two or three different dates that had been put aside where he was due to have travelled and had meetings. But now it's become very pressing because of the election so close by. So he's decided that he will do this for the day. Interestingly, Israel and the United Arab Emirates are currently the countries with the fastest vaccination campaigns going on a per capita basis. So there is something for the two countries to talk about, at least at that level. And apparently the UAE will recognize Israeli vaccination certificates and vice versa to allow a free travel corridor between the two countries. People who've been vaccinated in one country or the other will be allowed to travel backwards and forwards without the need to quarantine and without the need to go through any stringent checks. So that's currently what we think will be happening on Thursday. But obviously, until it happens, we can't really tell. Anything could get in the way of it between now and then. But this is these are the rumors, if we believe what's written in the press at the moment.
Mm. What is interesting is, no matter what we say, and certainly I'm of the belief that it's time for him to move forward and to move on and let somebody else take over. No matter what I think about that, if I look at the vaccine situation in Israel, yes, Israel was problematic right at the beginning in terms of how they handled COVID. But the fact is that they've done a phenomenal job. Internationally, over the last couple of years, we've seen a tremendous boost. Maybe it was because of Trump as well, but we've seen a huge amount of progress. Israel is in a very good position in many areas, all under Netanyahu.
Netanyahu's government has a lot of things that it can really put up with pride in terms of achievements. I mean, let's not forget that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been the prime minister for so many years that there are people in this country who actually don't know any prime minister, were born in the time that he was prime minister and don't know anybody else as prime minister. So he's been, you know, he's certainly had a good long run. And you're right to say that he has a lot of achievements, which are to his credit. Mm. There's been economic strength during the time that he's been prime minister. We've had diplomatic successes, you know, development on the diplomatic front. From a security point of view, we've certainly had our issues. We've been through some Gaza war situations. We've had attacks that have been carried out. But I have to say that if we look at the current situation from a security perspective, Israel probably has never been in a safer, more secure security environment where, you know, we feel that our borders are well protected. We feel that we have all that we need in the event that we might be attacked from either the north or the south. We have the Iron Dome system. We have the defense systems that have all been laid out and been developed, all of which have been done under Netanyahu's prime ministerial leadership. So he has a lot that he can lay claim to and be given credit for. But even people who achieve a great deal at some point need to say, my time is done and I need to hand the reins over to somebody else. And it's always better to do that when you're on top rather than when you're sliding down that slippery slope. And I think he's probably missed that opportunity already. And so the sooner he decides to give the race up with some grace, I think the better it will be for him.
Anton Lopez says, very clever, the agreement with Sarah has an appendix. Very good. Very, very clever. Jordanian Crown Prince Hussein was denied entry to Israel after violating an agreement. What was that violation?
Well, the violation was all around his security entourage and how many people were included in this security detail that the Crown Prince travels with. These details are usually they're usually agreed between the two governments in a lot of detail, how many people, what kind of arms they're going to be allowed to carry, because obviously the idea of armed security coming into a foreign country in order to protect a VIP is a very sensitive issue. Israel has its own ability to protect VIPs, and it would be usual in international diplomacy that when a foreign dignitary arrives in a host country, that it's the host country that has the responsibility to protect them, and that foreign dignitary doesn't arrive with his own army to protect him while he's visiting a foreign country. So these are things which are very, very carefully coordinated between the two countries. And apparently Crown Prince Hussein did decide that he wanted to visit the Temple Mount in the old city of Jerusalem. It was agreed between the governments. He arrived at the Allenby Bridge to cross over from Jordan into Israel, and it was then determined that whatever had been agreed wasn't being adhered to, and he was literally turned back and wasn't allowed to continue his visit to the Temple Mount. Now, this is a very, very a controversial issue, because we do know that the king, his brother, is the head of the Waqf, and the Waqf has the overall responsibility over the Temple Mount. So to turn away the brother of the head of the Waqf coming to effectively visit what is his family's overall responsibility is not something which is taken lightly. And yet on this occasion, the Israeli authorities felt that it was appropriate to turn the entourage back to Jordan and allow them to proceed. I'm guessing they tried to negotiate to slim the detail down to the number that had been agreed, and it wasn't accepted, and ultimately it was decided that he wouldn't continue. So I hope that this doesn't create a massive diplomatic incident between the two countries. It could potentially do so. But at the moment, at least, things seem to be relatively under control.
Wow, that really is it really is potentially a very dangerous story. It can become quite explosive. We don't have a lot of time. We've got really less than a minute. But if you could just maybe talk to the fact that there's lots of discussion around the fact that Pesach could be normal this year.
Well, normal is, of course, in inverted commas, because I don't know whether Pesach and normal really go together. But let's assume usual rather than normal. So, yeah, I mean, the vaccination program is really coming into its own. We really feel every day that there is progress in terms of getting back to an element of routine, element of what we used to, what we were used to before Corona days. And now there's talk that we might be allowed to even have a Pesach Seder with up to 20 people in a closed environment. So even a week ago, there was discussion about the fact that there would be a lockdown over Pesach, that there is still some nervousness about whether the vaccinations will be effective enough to allow people to conduct Pesach Seders as we used to know them two or three years ago. Now there is an honest feeling, a real feeling that Pesach might be an event that we can hold like we used to with 20 people around the table or up to 20 people around the table. It's giving a feeling of optimism, I would say, in terms of the way that people are looking forwards to Pesach. We really haven't had the opportunity to gather together for that year that we've all been in lockdown, pretty much in lockdown.
Right.
And there is definitely a feeling of opening up, and the idea of having a Pesach with people around the table is definitely something to feel optimistic about.
Absolutely right. And Tenurach, that's where we love and leave it. We'll be back with you on Monday morning. I hope you have a fantastic weekend.